Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Winter is here, and if your furnace isn't keeping up, don't worry. Care Heating and Cooling has you covered. Our expert technicians are paid to fix your furnace, not sell you a new one. That means when Care shows up, we're there to solve the problem, not to push a sale. With 30 years of award-winning, trusted service, you can count on Care to keep your home warm and comfortable. Call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or schedule an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Hello, and welcome to Battery Bargains, a series from the Batteries Included podcast where we answer your EV buying questions. This is episode number 10. I'm Dominic Ioni, host of the YouTube channel Drive Electric with Dominic, and I'm joined today by Martin Lee from the EV News Daily podcast, along with Tom Logney, senior editor at Inside EVs and host of the YouTube channel State of Charge. Now, if you're looking for your own battery bargain, email us a short paragraph with Find My EV in the subject line and tell us about your use case and budget, and we'll see about featuring your case on an upcoming episode. All right, so let's start this thing off with our first case for today. And to be transparent, we've paraphrased these emails a bit for length and clarity. Actually, before we get going, I'd like to give a shout out to Al, who we helped a few episodes ago when he was trying to decide on whether to buy a new or used Tesla Model Y. He ended up getting a new inventory vehicle with trade-in and incentives cost him about $36,000. So he sent us a photos of what is his two-car solution now. He also has a Chevy Bolt EV, and this is his dream garage because he used to own the Spark EV, and he thinks the Bolt is just a little bit like that with the fun driving characteristics and all that. So our first email comes to us from Sasha in Australia. He writes, "My conundrum. I currently drive a Tesla Model Y rear-wheel drive, but am about to move back to a rural area where the nearest fast charger is 435 miles away. That's 700 kilometers. We'll have a RAV4 hybrid for road trips. However, I need a vehicle with up to 200 kilometers or 124 miles of range that can handle soft sand, corrugations, and carry two adults, a baby, and some surf gear. Budget is up to around 90,000 Australian dollars. That's around $60,258 US. Secondhand is fine, and I'd even modify a vehicle to get the capability that I need. Would any of the European SUVs be capable enough to handle these sort of roads? Could you comment on the Subaru Solterra and its off-road capabilities, also considering the Volvo XC40, or even lifting a Tesla all-wheel drive and putting larger tires on it?" I assume he means Model Y. "The main thing I need is tires with at least 50 millimeters, 2 inches of radius to be able to run low pressure in soft sand and more than 20 centimeters or 8 inches of clearance. Love your show. Please keep up the great information / entertainment, Sasha." All right. Wow. So Australia, well, so one thing he mentioned in this letter here, Tom, is the corrugation. So in Australia, they got these like dirt roads which are really sandy, and the wind blows like these little, you know, ripples over it, and they're like nothing. But when you drive over them, they can shake a car apart. It's like, I watched some videos today. It's amazing. It'll unscrew bolts. If you're carrying food items, it'll unscrew jars and like mix everything up in your car. It's crazy. Anyway.
I don't have a lot of experience driving on corrugation, so I don't know if I could tell you exactly what's going to work with that. But the interesting thing is, you mentioned that one of the vehicles you're interested in is Subaru Solterra. I don't know a lot of people that own a Solterra, but I happen to run into one person that owns one a month or so ago when I was up in Vermont. My in-laws live up in Vermont. I frequently talk about road trips I take up there, and Vermont's like one of the Subaru capitals of America. Like, there's every other vehicle is a Subaru up there. It's crazy. So I ran across somebody that had one, and he was getting in his vehicle when we were in a parking lot. So I said, you know, let me ask him what he thinks of it, because I hadn't seen, they don't sell a lot of Solteras, so I don't see a lot of people own them. So I was talking to the guy, more than happy to talk to me. I had my Lightning, so he was curious about my Lightning. And we talked a while about the Solterra, and he actually said it actually does really well. There's a lot of dirt and muddy roads where he lives. A lot of the roads up there aren't paved. And he was talking about how and he's owned like a bunch of Subarus. And he swore that the symmetrical all-wheel drive system that they have on the Solterra, he's like, it's better than any other Subaru I had. So that was a plus for the all-wheel drive system. Now the tires, I don't know exactly how many inches of sidewall you have, but I know the Solterra in the base trim has the taller tires. I think they're 235/60 R18s. If you get the 20-inch wheels, then it's lower. It's like a 50-inch aspect ratio. So the standard wheels with the 18-inch, the standard setup with the 18-inch wheels would be a better go for you if you were going Solterra. You know, that would be more than enough range. You'd need a little more than 100 miles range. XC40, the Volvo XC40 that you mentioned, would also be, I think, a good shot for you. I mean, you have a rear wheel drive Model Y. If you had the all wheel drive, I almost think that would have worked for you also. But I don't really know what the clearance is on that. As I see a lot of videos out there, people taking their Model Ys in crazy off-road places. So I'm guessing that would work too. But you have rear-wheel drive, and I'm thinking you're going to need all-wheel drive for you're going over sand and so forth. But that Solterra might be something to look at. I think you were on the right lines when you were talking Volvo XC40 and Solterra. I don't know. I haven't spoken with anybody to talk to them about how well the XC40 does in challenging road conditions and salt off-road conditions. But I did run into somebody with a Solterra, and he was impressed.
Right on. That sounds pretty promising then. Martin, do you have anything that comes off the top of your head?
Well, the first thing that came to mind, until you just threw me by saying these corrugations are super gnarly and he definitely needs all-wheel drive, so this perhaps was a little bit out of order, but we have a vehicle here called the Maxus, which is the T90, and it's a pickup truck, and it's got an 88 kilowatt hour battery. Now, let me just have a look at this one. It's done 3,000, that's 1,000 miles. Let me find you a brand new version on this. This is a brand new pickup truck, 88.5 kilowatt hour battery on the Maxus, and it's 25,000 pounds. So that's 30,000 US dollars. Well within budget in Australia, but it's two-wheel drive. So if what you say about these corrugations, they're gnarly, you need four-wheel drive, then don't look at this. In Australia, they sell this under the LDV brand. Now, both Maxus and LDV are owned by SAIC. Yeah, those of MG fame, like the MG that I own. So they got a great backup behind them. And down under in New Zealand, I think they sell them as LDVs. I think it's still called the T90. Either way, but it's two-wheel. I think it's two-wheel drive. So, but otherwise, look, it's a pickup truck for 25 grand, and it's brand new. And it's not the most capable, but it's got the ground clearance you want and all those things. But it's inside. It's okay. It's very analog in terms of its dials. And it's very much a combustion car that is in EV world. It's got the old analog dials for things like that. But you don't seem to mind. I totally agree with what Tom says on the Volvo, the Subaru Solterra, all very good. What we need is a better conversion industry that at the minute is small and growing, but there's companies over here like, well, this one's called Electric Car Converts, and they sell kits. And so if I have a look at some of the kits that they've done, this was a Land Rover Defender 90, for instance. You get a donor vehicle, and their kit that you drop in, well, this one was £33,000. Again, I don't know how that relates to Aussie dollars, but it's a kit that it's all the bolts are in the right place. You take out the combustion stuff, you drop in. If you're handy and you fancy a project, then we need more stuff like this, because with a great donor vehicle, you can pick up a half-decent Defender for 10 grand, and perhaps the engine is shot, although some of them are pretty reliable anyway. But look, you can get a kit for a Jeep Wrangler as well, and they're not bespoke. They are kits that they'll ship anywhere in the world. This Range Rover Classic, that was a 50 grand kit, but either way, we need more stuff like this. So, because these donor vehicles, some of them are in fine shape. Now, some of them are obviously, you know, rusty and you know, what have you, but some of them, the donor vehicle's good, but the engine's knackered, or the drivetrain's gone, and you can put these kits in. Some of them are Tesla kits, and some of them are other vehicles as well, and you sound pretty handy, Sasha, and so maybe this would be beyond me, but if you fancy a project, we need more stuff like this, and then you would have an all-electric Land Rover that would do maybe 80, 90, 100 miles, but boy, oh boy, would you have something that very few people in the world have got, and it would be ultimately capable wherever you want to go in your rural area. Again, these kits will ship anywhere in the world. Don't know what donor vehicles are like where you are, and you know, or getting it done, whether it's just price prohibitive. But we need more of an industry like this, because you've got a reasonably specific use case, and this would fix it.
Right. So Sasha does seem pretty handy. At one point, he said he converted a 1982 Toyota Hilux, and he put like 600 kilograms of lead acid batteries in it, which is, that's a lot of batteries. So that's an interesting idea, though, with conversion. But I kind of lean Solterra. That's got an 8.3 inches of ground clearance, so it's got the ground clearance you're looking for, and it's got the, what do you call, it's got X mode all-wheel drive, is what they call that feature on the Subaru Solterra. And I can show you what. So our colleague Kyle Connor had this out. He says the X mode all-wheel drive system is a really great off-road. But I have a wild card here. I would suggest possibly a used Jaguar I-Pace. So ground clearance is low at 6.5 inches, but it has active air suspension that can be raised up, so it's up to 9.4 inches. It might not have the off-road chops of like a Defender, say, but it should be decent enough, I think. And price-wise, if we take a look here, I think I found one for, yes, here it is. Model I-Pace, yes, $75,000 Australian dollars. So that's in your budget.
And to that point, the I-Pace is incredibly capable off-road. It's remarkable, does well in all-wheel drive on, you know, uneven surfaces, sand, dirt, mud, and everything. They like almost over-engineered the I-Pace. It really can handle itself in any terrain, especially if you put the right tires on it. That thing can go anywhere.
Right. I think the knocks against the I-Pace are what, the software, original software? Mm-hmm. But that's been
improved
somewhat.
It might not be big enough for them either. Like, that doesn't have a really big hatch in the back.
True.
I think it's smaller than the Solterra, with the seats down.
Oh, really?
If you are going to
maybe
go for
I'm wrong.
I
haven't been in one in a while. I just remembered it seemingly not to have a lot of room back there.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the I-Pace, yeah, they did change the software. So if you want to get the new software, the dead giveaways are the rear seats were a 60-40 split on the original cars. And then they did the three-way folding seats in the back of the I-Pace where you could just fold the center section down rather than having a ski hatch, which would be like 40-20-40 or however they meant to say it. Look, that's the dead giveaway because it was at that point at which they also introduced the new software. You can tell just by looking, by the way, on the screen. It just looks different. But that, if you're looking at pictures, that's the dead giveaway. That's the newer I-Pace. It was around 2020 model year. I think it changed. But okay. The forums will tell you more. It's a great. It is a great vehicle in terms of depreciation because it's going to be a one-off vehicle. They're never going to make any more of them like that. It's a weird thing. And yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot about charging issues on some DC early, old, really old DC fast chargers misbehaved on the I-Paces for a while. Okay. And if it ever got fixed, but, yeah, have a look at that.
Yeah, definitely. If it does strike your fancy, go to the I-Pace forums, just, you know, search the web for iPACE forums, and you'll find lots of information, people with real life experience. But people tend to talk about things that go bad more than they talk about things that go good. So keep that in mind as well. I saw a bunch of iPACE yesterday at the dealership, and I was reminded about how much I like the looks of these things, man. I think they're a good looking vehicle. But anyway, we should move on. So our next case comes to us from Ray, who sent us an email and says, "Hi guys, I live in Southern California. I have two dogs, 140-pound Great Dane and an 85-pound Golden Doodle. I'm semi-retired and drive about 12,000 to 15,000 miles a year. I just added solar to my house and built the system to accommodate an EV. I currently drive a 2007 Lexus GX470 with 201,000 miles, and I've owned it for almost 14 years. I'm looking for a vehicle that's large enough to accommodate the dogs. Budget is $50,000-ish. I'm a person who keeps cars for 10 plus years. Also, could you suggest a portable plug-in level 2 charger? Your input is appreciated. Thank you, Ray." So, Tom, I saw plug-in, level 2 charger, and like, this is right up your alley. So maybe we should kick off with that little nugget.
Well, so it depends on what you want to spend. If you have a healthy budget for it, I really like the J Plus Booster. Now, it's expensive. It's like $600. I think it's $599. But it's the best portable level 2 charger on the market today. And that thing will last you. You like to keep your cars for 10 years. That charger will last the full 10 years or more. If you want to save a little bit of money, it's possible to go for the Webasto unit. I think it's a good solid unit, but I have had some of my followers tell me that they're getting premature failures on them, not lasting as long as they should. But you could consider the Tesla Mobile Connector. It's a really good connector, but then you're using an adapter. It's aggressively priced, the Tesla Mobile Connector. So you could probably get that and an adapter for what, you know, you'd pay for a charge even for less than what you pay for the J Plus Booster. Depends on how often are you going to use that portable unit. If it's once in a while, it doesn't really matter if you have the adapter. If it's something that you're thinking about using like for daily charging and you just want a portable thing to plug in, then I probably would tell you not to get something with an adapter, because in a perfect world, you don't want to use an adapter all the time. You're just adding another point of failure. So those are three decent options depending on your budget and how often you're going to use it. As for the vehicle, I hate to keep going back to, we talk a lot about used e-trons. That would probably have the room for your dogs. If you can stretch your budget to new, Kia EV9 might be a good vehicle for you. That'll certainly fit the two big dogs back there. That would probably be where I would start with those two vehicles.
It's calling the Audi e-tron. I don't know why that slipped my mind for some reason. But yeah, that's definitely got some room, and it's like a great car and a great value now used. You can find super low, yep, low mileage for just over $30,000 used, relatively new. Martin, you have any suggestions?
I'm definitely going to lean into what you say about how long you keep your cars. Mm. And for that reason, I say Tesla Model X. And I'll tell you why. Because none of us know what EV world will be like in 10 years' time. And the new market is all good and great, and people lease cars because they want the latest, greatest software. And in 2 years' time, the cars are different. They chop them in. And it's not the cheapest way to get a vehicle, by the way. And you know that because you did 200,000 miles in your Lexus. And so combustion cars have a robust service. Lexus stuff, Toyota stuff, any of the big OEM stuff, is you can get your hands on an original part or a factor part. And if you're handy, you can do it yourself. You can find any mechanic that will do it once a vehicle's out of warranty and you're not worried about main dealer servicing. Now, Tesla got a very generous warranty on their vehicles, but in your budget, you want a nice car, you may well be getting a Model X that's out of warranty anyway. Is it 60,000 miles? I've not looked at the Tesla warranty in a long time. I know it's pretty generous compared to some. But if you want to be driving this vehicle in the year 2033, the only EV that I can think, which is going to have the best third-party solutions, is Tesla. So if you're going to keep a vehicle for 10 years, I'm not saying that Audi e-tron bits won't be around or Mercedes EQC bits or whatever, but if you are going to keep this vehicle for 10 years, the only recommendation that I could give you, because the community for Tesla is so big, is that if that battery pack goes out of warranty, that's a really expensive replacement. And the only shops that I know of, the third-party ones, we've got them over here, we've got some third-party shops that are doing great Tesla bits. And I think, you know, in the US, I think the YouTube channel Rich Rebuild did a lot for repairing Teslas over a period of time. He's kind of moved on from the Tesla thing, but still, he's a Rivian guy now and he loves his Rivian. But still, I'd lean into a Model X, because in 8 years' time, if that battery pack goes, and something's going to go, that inverter goes, whatever, I think that's the most robust third-party community to get you out of that hole. That's not going to be ridiculous. Like, I talk about that I-Pace charging problems that I read about on the forums and stuff. You take that I-Pace back to Jaguar Land Rover and you start seeing their hourly rate of diagnostics racking up. They'll probably find the problem, but the bill's going to be big, my friend. So I'm worried about that. You're a 200-mile kind of guy. I'd say that.
Interesting suggestions. So I hadn't thought about the Audi, but I think that's a great idea. I don't know about a Model X long-term like that, man. It seems like it. I don't know.
The screen's going to go, and then you're going to need a new screen, and everything's going to go. You're going to need new bits and bits. Anyway.
Yeah. Originally, I thought 2023 Aria. There's a Venture Plus. It's got a cargo height of 26.9 inches. I'm not sure if that's really a lot for a Great Dane. So then I just realized something else, just slightly over your budget, is the Mercedes-Benz EQB. That starts at $52,750. You might be able to find something out there for below MSRP. I don't know. You never know. It's possible. I know our local dealer has a bunch on the lot. So maybe there's similar situations out there when people are ready to deal a little bit. It does have a fair amount of space in the rear as far as like headroom from the floor to the roof. I'm not sure what that number is in inches, but you know, I stuck my head in one yesterday and it seemed like, you know, pretty generous. And plus you could fold the rear seats down. And of course it's a Mercedes, so 10 years shouldn't be an issue, I would hope, you know. And the interior was quite nice. I thought it was pretty nice. If you're going to spend a lot of time in a car and you had a Lexus before, this is kind of like the level of luxury I think that you would appreciate, right? Yeah. So I think that's my recommendation. So I guess let's move on to our final email. Our last email comes to us from Bob. He writes, "Hey, Dom, Kyle, Martin, and Tom. I love your podcast, which helped me actually know more than my dealer when I purchased my rural drive extended range Mach-E in January of 2022. But should I keep it? My previous car was a Mini Clubman S, and though I love the Mach-E, I really miss driving on rails, the driving on rails handling of the Mini. I love the Mini Aceman concept, but it's a concept. Will it be sold by 25, and will it have low range, given Mini's EV history? Have you heard any details about it, or the new Countryman EV? Do you think I am likely to find an EV in January of 2025 with the handling I prefer, and also the summer range of 300-plus miles like my Mach-E? Regarding a replacement, I prefer a smaller vehicle than the Mach-E. I'm intrigued by the Volvo EX30, but the 275 miles of EPA range is well below the 300 to 350 summer miles I get, or my Mach-E gets. Do you expect I'll be able to find a suitable replacement, or will a range win out and I'll instead keep my Mach-E? Thanks, Bob." All right. So that's a bit of a lengthy email. Sorry, I could have cut it down a little bit more than I wasn't sure what to cut out, though. All these little bits sounded kind of important. So you know anything about Minis right off the top of your head, Tom?
So the funny thing is, all this talk about Mach-E made me think about something that I should have remembered for the first person. Remember the person from Australia?
Yes!
How about Mach-E Rally?
Yes!
Oh! It's a little expensive, but
I know it's a little. I think it starts at 65, and his budget was 60 or 62 or something like that.
Right.
So maybe it's a little bit of a stretch, and I don't know what the price is in Australia, but if he can get a hold of one of those, that's the all-wheel drive that's made for driving off-road like that. We should have recommended that for the first one. So
it
looks awesome. So okay. So sorry to sidetrack number three, but we got to add that to number one. I don't even know if it's available in Australia, but it probably will be eventually. I know Ford's in Australia, right? So I mean, you know, in any event,
Ford is here.
Yeah. So here's the thing. You want something to handle on rails, but you want it to have 300 miles of range. How do you get 300 miles of range? By putting in a big battery. You put a big battery, you add weight, you lose that handling on rails. So, you know, it's going to be very, I don't think you're going to get in 2025 a 300 plus mile EV that drives like a Mini Cooper that, you know, that I just don't think you're going to get that. You're not going to get that same tossable feeling. You know, I talk a lot about how my i3 and the i3S had that handling on rails type of feel like the Mini Cooper. Maybe not quite as good as a Mini Cooper, but I don't think a used i3S would work for you. It's possible. It's not going to have the range that you want, though. It's, you know, unless you get the range extender. But then even the one with the range extender weighs more, doesn't handle quite as well as the BEV does. But Volvo EX30 isn't going to really have the 300 miles. I mean, you're asking for a lot, more than 300 miles of range. There's not a lot of EVs out there to do that to begin with. And then you want it to handle, you know, like a Mini Cooper. You know, Porsche's coming out with the Boxster electric in a couple of years. It's probably going to be out of your price range, but I bet you that's going to handle like it's on rails. They'll figure out a way of making a long-range EV handle like it's on rails, but you're going to pay for it. I haven't driven an EX30. I'm anxious to drive one because I liked it. I saw it in person, sat in it and everything, but didn't drive it. I'm actually reserved one. I may buy one, but you know, it's hard to, I don't really have an answer for you. I don't think you're going to get a 300 plus mile EV that drives like a Mini Cooper. It just doesn't exist, and it's probably not going to for a little while.
Tom absolutely said it perfectly. What you want is big miles, which means big battery, and there's not magical tech that's 2 years away, despite Toyota's solid-state batteries being just on the horizon for the last 20 years, or Tesla's Battery Day, which promises groundbreaking new technology. And, oh, look, the Cybertruck is about the same as 18650s. Look at what's coming out of China, because some of the technology there from the world's biggest EV battery company, CATL, and I'm not an apologist, by the way, for all the stuff coming out of China before you accuse me of that. But there is some interesting stuff, like the MG Cyberster is coming. That's going to be a big, high-mile, two-seat sports car. The YouTube videos on that look really good, because the Chinese, the English-speaking Chinese reviewers, or the expats that are living over in China. And again, look, they've got, I know all this, they've got access to a car that's made by the Chinese state, effectively, given how many subsidies are going on. And they're not going to leave a massively critical review. I know all of that, but that car's in China right now. It comes to Europe next year. I think the UK is 12 months away. The US, I don't know, but there is stuff around that's going to have really good range and be really good fun, because you don't say that you've got to take the dogs out and stuff like that in your email. You just say, hey, I want a really fun car. And all the ones that I thought about, which was like the Tesla Model 3 Performance, which is incredible, and the Polestar 2 Performance Plus with the Ohlins dampers and all that. It's just brilliant, but it's all the same size as the Mustang Mach-E that you've got. So just keep that car, because it's also brilliant. In terms of small cars, there are great cars. You said the new Mini. Well, the new Mini is out now, and the Honda E. May it rest in peace, because they just killed it. But that's a great little car, but none of them are going to give you 300 miles of summer EPA, let's face it. So it's physically a physics thing. It's the battery tech isn't there yet. So, watch China, but a lot of it depends on it being sold in the US, and probably won't be.
I think the Minis come here in late 2024, so it's still a little while, I think, before they're even available here. And it's the Countryman, and I'm not sure that Countryman probably is built on the BMW iX1 platform. So I don't think it's going to handle quite maybe like your other, like the Mini you're used to. So my suggestions, I have a couple. Polestar 2 which, like Martin was saying, it's not really smaller though. But I think it might be a sportier handling car. You could always take one for a test drive. I mean, that'd be a lot of fun anyway, just to go and try one out. So great excuse to head over and hang out with the Polestar folks and just see what that whole, you know, brand is about, because it's a nice brand, really.
But that's going to be a lot less range than 300 plus miles.
Actually, if you get a single motor, there's one that's over 300 miles though, right? Yeah,
the 2024. New one. Yeah, 2024. The new one, they added range and efficiency to the single motor. Yeah. They moved it from front wheel drive to rear wheel drive. Double thumbs up. But it's not going to be as good as the Performance Plus with the pack, which, as Tom says, is like 245 EPA or something.
That's why I thought you were talking about Performance Plus here.
This one's 320 miles of range with a single motor, 2024 long range single motor. Yeah. And they have it starting here at 52,550 at this one dealership I'm looking at. But I think the base is like slightly just below 50,000. And I'm not sure I don't know if you can really negotiate with in the Polestar store the prices. I think they're kind of set. They're not like a traditional dealership exactly, right? I believe they're company owned stores. So my other suggestion, if that doesn't quite do it, well, you could also, I'm not sure which. So you say you have an extended range rear wheel drive Mach-E, you could possibly upgrade to a used Performance Mach-E. So you have that same Mach-E experience, but maybe with slightly better handling. If you get it was the air suspension or the Magna Ride. It's the Magna Ride on the top performance spec. I don't know if you can find out anything out there used, but that took a depreciation hit. I'm not sure. I didn't really explore that before the show, but that's something I would definitely investigate for sure. And my final suggestion would be the 2024 BMW i4 Grand Coupe eDrive 40 with 18-inch wheels, which puts you just over 300 miles of range, if that's important. So BMW, decent brand, I think. The i4 Grand Coupe, I've heard great things about its handling. Really, I think it really compares well to the Tesla Model 3. Just a rear-wheel drive, though. It might not be quite as quick as a rear-wheel drive, but it should be decent handling. It's rear-wheel drive, of course, so you have that rear bias. Pretty sporty feel, and it's in your budget. Well, thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions or comments, please leave them below or get in touch with us on the social media platform of your choice. Don't forget, if you like the show, please give us a thumbs up, click subscribe, tap that bell icon for notifications. Thank you all very much for joining us, and we'll see you all again very soon. Ciao.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hi, welcome to IKEA.
Can you turn back time? I'm sending my baby to college.
We don't do time travel, but we can make sure you find affordable, stylish options they'll love.
Aww.
Also visit our website to see how verified college students with an IKEA family account can receive a one-time use 15% off coupon.
Double
Offer ends September 30th, 2025. Valid ID required. Discount apply proportionally across items purchased as shown on receipt. See IKEA-USA.com/readyforcollege for complete terms.
Open a money market account at Kemba Financial Credit Union and enjoy a 4.00% APY intro rate until July 2026, 6 times the national average. Maintain easy access to your funds and secure financial stability. Don't miss out. Offer expires October 31st, 2025. Visit Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Advantage status and $5,000 minimum and $1 million maximum deposit required. APY equals annual percentage yield. Comparison based on FDIC average federal insured by NCUA.